Let's say that the police department here, they've stopped you for speeding four times out here. You've got speeding tickets. Let's say they got six violations of parking down in Dallas. You know, I mean, say that you got drunk one night, hit somebody, beat up on somebody, and man, you just got a list. The list gets longer and longer and longer and longer. And somehow you're still running around out here free. And one day you drive again under the influence, and some guy, you're weaving in and out, and some police officer stops you. Now then, if I'm right behind you and he stops me and you together and I don't have a single violation against me, what can he do to me? Nothing. I mean, I just happen to be in the bus here that got pulled over. But when he gets to you, he says, oh, that's Thurman Scrivener. Ooh, he's on the top of our list. He's been drunk all these times. He's got these traffic violations downtown. He's been stopped six times for speeding. Lock him up. Is that what they're going to do to me, Richard?
Absolutely.
They're going to take me down and lock me up and throw the key away. And they're going to torment me because why? They have legal right. But if somebody comes along and says, okay, I'm going to bail Thurman out. I know he's been drunk four times. I got all these traffic violations. Judge, what would it take to give him a clean bill of health? The judge said, well, he's pretty bad. $10,000. The guy's reached in his pocket and says, here's your $10,000. Now then, what can they do to me now? I'm clean. I mean, the price has been paid. What did Jesus do for you? This list of sins, what did he do? He walked in, and it might have been a whole lot more than $10,000. But he paid it for you and me, didn't he, Richard? When he paid it, now then the devil, he says, well, wait a minute, but I want to put him in jail. He said, well, you had a legal right to him a few minutes ago, but now you don't. He had a long list of violations against him, but I just took care of it. And so that's the way Jesus Christ done what he says here in this scripture. He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances or the sins that was against you. He took your list and pulled it down and wadded it up and lit a fire to it and threw it away. There ain't none left. So when there ain't none left, what does it say there? Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you, which was contrary to us, and it took out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So he took that list instead of him burning it up, he put it on his cross up there, and the blood ran down and just covered it all up. Is that good news?
Yes.
Now by doing this, let's see what the scripture says in the next verse, verse 15. Having spoiled or disarmed principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the cross, in it, the cross. Now, when he reached up and took, Yeshua had a long list. You know what I mean, right? I had a long list of things against me. And they were fixing to put me in jail. The forces of darkness, oh, we got him right where we want him. We're going to lock him up. We're going to torment him. We're going to get him. And the Lord comes along when I said, Lord, I cried and said, Lord, I need help. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Oh, he says, goes over and he pulls that long list down and takes it over and nails it on his cross and says, Satan, I've just cleansed him and washed him. And now you have no claim to him no more. So by doing that, Jesus said he disarmed the powers of darkness. That police officer wants to take you down, Richard, and lock you up. But he can't take you now. Jesus just come along and bails you out. The judge only wanted $10,000. He thought this boy could never come up with $10,000. He ain't nobody out there loves him enough to give him $10,000. So he said, okay, $10,000. What if he'd have said $100,000? Me and you can't come up with that kind of, or I can't, you might, but I can't come up with that kind of money. But Jesus can, can't he?
Yes, he can.
He come over and he took that list of all them sins, took them over to his cross, and says, knock, 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 knock. Nailed it on the cross. He said, okay, devil, I paid the price by my death, my burial, my resurrection. I paid the price for my son. He has called upon me. I've washed him clean, so I've forgiven all of his sins. So now then, by me forgiving all of his sins, I've disarmed you or spoiled you. I've taken away your legal right. You can't torment Thurman or Richard no more. You have no legal claim to him. Is that good news? Only Jesus could do that, couldn't he? I mean, he set us free. In other words, if Thurman was the guy that had all that bad stuff, or Richard happened to be that guy, when Jesus paid that price, Jesus set you and me free. Now he says, go and sin no more. And you don't have to worry about these boys no more. They can't come get you. I've paid the price for you. Is that what he's done for every human being, that accept him as Lord and Savior? Yeah. If we could only stay that way. If we wouldn't go back out again and speed. You know, if we wouldn't go out and do the dumb things that open the door again to bring these devils back to us. But the thing about it is, if we do that, if we do go out and do something that's wrong and open the door to the devil, what can we do to close that door after we become children of God? Repent. That's exactly right, Kim. We can repent and ask him to forgive us. And again, he takes that one sin, he nails it to his cross and said, okay, devil, yes, Kim just sinned, but she has repented. I've nailed that one to my cross too. Can you imagine what his cross must look like? I'm just sure just for my sins, he's covered pretty well. Aren't we grateful that we have that privilege? If we didn't have that privilege, you know where we would all be today? We'd be dead. That devil would have killed us, I guarantee you. But Jesus paid that price right there, and he spoiled or disarmed the principalities and powers, Satan and his host of demons. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the cross. He triumphed over sin by what he did on the cross. And he set you and me free. And most Christians still run around today like we're in bondage. Wow. Verse 16 says, then, because I've done this for you, let no man therefore judge you in meat and food. Somebody says, you can't eat that shrimp. I said, oh yeah, I can. You can't eat that catfish. That's not clean. Oh yeah, I can eat that catfish. I can eat shrimp. All things are clean for me. I am free. Somebody says, well, it offends me if you eat it. Then I won't eat it. So while they're with me, I don't eat it. But they leave, I go back and get my catfish and eat it. I have freedom. I am free in Christ. But if I'm going to offend you when I eat catfish, I ain't going to eat it in your presence. I said, well, what can I eat then? Well, if you'll eat steak, I'm okay with that. Okay. Are you buying? If you're buying, we'll eat steak. But he said, let no man judge you in meat or in food or in drink. That mean, can I drink a glass of wine if I want to for dinner? Can I? Sure I can if I want to. You know, could I have a glass of beer if I wanted one? Yeah. Sure, I could have one. But am I going to drink one? No. Why am I not going to drink one? I don't want my children or my babies or my grandbabies to see me drinking alcoholic beverages. Because if they see me doing it, they may want to do it. And if I'm my age and I start drinking a beer once in a while, it's probably not going to have any effect on this body. But a little body, if they start drinking beer when they're young, it'll be real easy for them to become attracted to it, attached to it, and addicted to it. And then they may be 25 years old, out, wiped out, and get killed in a car wreck one night. And guess whose fault it was? Granddaddy's, because they saw granddaddy drinking a beer. Well, let me tell you, because granddaddy knows that, granddaddy ain't going to drink a beer. I ain't going to have no beer in my house. Because I don't want to see my children die because of my stupidity. And I know what happens to people that drink. We have 100,000 people every year get killed with killed or injured with a permanent injury because of alcoholic drink. Now, if a guy was to drink a beer, it's not that devastating to drink one beer if he would only drink one. You know that? Or if you had a little glass of wine for dinner, one would be okay. Why can't we sit down and drink a glass of tea with our meal and be okay with one glass of tea or glass of water, but yet they go in and drink and sit there and drink 6 or 8 or 10 beers and then they can't walk, can't drive home? I don't understand that. Yeah, I do. We're stupid. That's what's wrong with us. We're just stupid. Let's just call it like it is, you know. We don't have a brain. We're living in the flesh. We're not living in the spirit. When men are living in the spirit, they don't do those kind of things. It's only the worldly men that, and women, but mostly men that do those kind of things. He said, So let no man therefore judge you in meat or food, what you eat, or in drink, what you drink, or in respect of a holy day. A holy day? Oh, we got all kinds of holy days, don't we? You know, all those days, the feasts and everything, there's all kinds of holy days. Well, do I have to keep those if I want to? If I don't want to, I don't have to. Then he goes on, he said, or of the new moon. The new moon, I mean, that was a special time when they saw the new moon. You know, that's how they bring in Rosh Hashanah on the new moon. And it says, or of the Sabbath days. Oh, the Sabbath? Right there it is. Don't let nobody condemn me by saying, you got to keep the Sabbath. Do I have to keep the Sabbath? No, not according to the Word. Isn't that amazing? So he says, let no man therefore judge you in food, meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. Well, let's see what else he says in verse 17 and 18. Which are a shadow of the things to come. But the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Now let me tell you something. In the last few years, since I've really been in the ministry in a big way, full time, I have listened to a lot of men and women prophets. And I've heard them tell me everything imaginable. I've went places out of town. I've had them come in and they bring their tape recorder. That's the first thing I have a real problem with. They bring their tape recorder and they set it up here and they speak a prophecy over me. And then when they get through speaking, they take the tape out and give it to me. You know how many of those prophecies that have been spoken over me come true? Not one single one. What does that tell you about those prophets? They were false prophets. Not one. So I don't have much faith in people that call themselves prophets. Very little. Whenever a man tells me that in September...
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, We Are Free Indeed, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.